better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
When is the last time that SEC coaches, coaches across college football, respected the Arkansas Razorback football program? Is it 2015? It's 2014. You have to go all the way back to 2011 before you got respect. Now, coaches have a higher degree of respect than average fans because average fans are arrogant and they think their team is better than everyone else. Coaches, not so much, because they know their words can come back to bite them. They can be used as bulletin board material. But it's been a while. It's either been 5 years or it's been 8 years, 9 years, whatever. It's been quite some time. So this piece hit me from Athlon Sports. Brad Powers out in Vegas had this to say of what SEC coaches had to say about Arkansas football via Athlon Sports. It is a total mess from top to bottom. What's the identity of the program? They were the worst-looking team on film in the conference, maybe in Power 5. Imagine hearing that in 2010, 2011, you could even say 2015, 2006, 2002, 98, 95. You would find whoever said that and just ridicule them endlessly. But this statement now is okay because what's happened the last 2 years? Sam Pittman is trying to establish an identity of toughness, similar to what Brett Bielema did. Now, Brett Bielema's was short-lived, and he didn't put the work and effort he needed to on the back end to get it done. You initially thought he was going to get there, but it didn't get done. Will Sam Pittman be able to create the identity that this opposing coach is talking about? This is the Morning Rush. He's Tommy Kraft. I'm Ty Richardson. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in. Always streaming live on hitthatline.com. Find our video stream, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Find us on the TuneIn app. And if you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. We're going to have Nick Kale of Athlon Sports joining us at 8 o'clock this morning to discuss that, as well as some SEC football topics. So when you hear that, first of all, if I want to know who this is, I hate.
You don't like the anonymous statements?
I don't like the anonymous statements. I wish I knew who this was, but
it's Nick Saban.
Surprise you that much.
It's kind of it feels like a kick them while they're down deal here, right? You know, Arkansas's program has been down a while. Let's keep them there. Arkansas just needs the right leader. That's what they've been searching for since Petrino left. He may not have liked his tactics, but he was able to lead a program in a successful manner. And had anybody to really stabilize success since then. And that's what this is about. You're hoping you've hired the right coach this time. So, yeah, I mean, the program has been atrocious. It's been embarrassing, particularly the last 2 years. Bielema, not as bad as the last 2 years, but never realized the expectations that I think the fans ultimately have here. Never was competitive enough in a five-year cycle. And he's a win or two away from probably being here another 2 to 3 seasons at least. So,
and the expectations, I think, now there's some fans that
he was really close.
Fall into the perspective of having too high of expectations that want to be in the SEC championship every single year, which in my opinion is just not a realistic outlook on the Arkansas football program. But if you win 7 to 8 games every single year and you compete for the SEC West once every 4, maybe 5 years, depending on how likable you are, you're going to be here for quite some time. Houston Nutt was here for 10 years with that similar type of outlook. They didn't go to 98, but they were almost there in 98. Went there in 02, went there in 06. I mean, that's literally the prime example. That's almost a Dave Van Horst example where you go or you're right there and this is College World Series compared to SEC Championship, about every 4 years or so. Tom Izzo, Final Four, that's what he does. Every about 4 years, he's there. So that's the type of expectations you see. But I can't imagine an SEC coach saying that when Bobby Petrino was here, even at the early Bobby Petrino years. Houston Nutt was here. Now, Houston Nutt had his flaws, as did Bobby Petrino, but when you played a high-caliber team, the majority of the time, his Razorbacks were geared up and ready to go, which is very important. You can't say the same about Chad Morris and even Brett Bielema. So,
in fairness, though, Nutt didn't have to play very many, one Nick Saban team in 07?
07, and they lost. And they lost.
In fairness, the league has changed dramatically since Nutt left.
Yes, and the competitive nature has gone up, but like that's, I think when you look at whatever, pick a sport, pick a time period, pick a decade or whatever, yes, the competitiveness has gone up, but you still were able to win at certain times. So you say that, so why weren't the other coaches able to have success in that time period, like during that, like the other SEC coaches? Why aren't there other ones that had that? Like you were labeled by your success or whatever that's surrounding you. And I'm not, that's not to belittle what Bobby Petrino did when the SEC West was, I mean, LSU, Bama, Auburn. I mean, that was just a gauntlet of teams you play. But I think that like Houston Nutt's success sometimes gets diminished a little bit based on, oh, well, he's not playing against Nick Saban and stuff. Well, that's not his fault.
No, I mean,
like, Saban, I mean, he did play against Saban. He beat Saban in what, 02? How many times he beat LSU?
LSU, I think he just beat a Nick Saban team once.
He just beat him once?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
So I don't know. It's a give and take type of
Saban
thing.
Really Saban then? He went on to win the national title at LSU.
When did Saban start coaching at LSU?
I thought it was, I'd have to look that up. I thought it was 2000 or 01, but I may be wrong.
Okay. You don't have the same respect from SEC coaches anymore. And I guarantee you that's one coach. I guarantee you it's a number of different coaches would say that.
Respect is earned and it is lost. I mean, it's based on merit. You earn respect based on merit. And Arkansas has not had much merit lately. They have not brought in football much to the table. I mean, it isn't they disrespect our state or disrespect our school. Because how many people have high levels of respect, elite respect for the baseball program or the track program? They're gaining respect for the women's basketball program, who wasn't thought much of just a few years ago, right? But now, Mike Nabors has turned the level of respect. I guarantee if you took anonymous quotes there, it's in those sports, be vastly different. You just got to go earn it. This football team hadn't earned anything. You want respect, you go earn it. You know, when you lose and lose in the fashion that this program has embarrassingly drug its fan base through the last several years, particularly the last two, I mean, unless you want these other guys to lie to you, these anonymous coaches to lie, it's not going to be pretty.
That's going to continue to be that.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're surprised by this, but none of us should be surprised that this is. In fact, it could be uglier than what we're reading.
Especially since it's anonymous, you think they just come all out, all in force and stuff. But sometimes you can pick up on a coach's tone, or at least coaches in the league can pick up on other coaches' tones and how they go about saying things. And again, bulletin board material. The reason it's anonymous, the reason Athlon Sports picks up this data anonymously, is because they don't want other coaches in this conference. Because let's say Sam Pittman does get this thing going, gets this thing right on track, then he's going to have, let's say, let's say Lane Kiffin said this for Ole Miss, and you play the Rebels this year. If this was said out in the open, on the record, just completely, just in a press conference or something, this message would be plastered up.
Yeah.
Everywhere that week up to the game, because that's the type of motivation you need. Not that this team needs motivation. Again, we've said this time and time again, based on what you've done the last 2 to 3 seasons, but it's just an added incentive to give extra motivation to this football team if this was said out in the open.
Yeah, so let's see how many coaches come out and own these comments. Hey, I want you to know I'm the one that made this comment. I bet the number's at zero.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tight
throw backed. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Got a Woj bomb from Adrian Wojnarowski about the NBA. And he says ESPN sources tell him as the NBA models a 22-team format for July 31st resumption in Orlando, the proposed timeline for the teams is the last possible date for the NBA Finals is Game 7 on October the 12th. Heard Golic and Wingo talking about this morning. If that were to happen, you're going to have the Saints and Chargers matched up in New Orleans that day. So they'll have Monday Night Football on ESPN, and then they'll probably have the Finals on ABC. Or not probably, that's how it will go. So this is going to be very interesting to see how the football and basketball dynamic play out, because typically the Finals end in July, and now they're going to be well into football on top of the fact that you're going to have baseball. Jeff Passan's reporting that they're looking at a 50-game schedule for the MLB. So it's going to be very compressed of sports. And I don't know about you, I'm excited because we've had such a craving for sports, for live sports as of late. And then we're just going to get an influx of it shoved down our throat for the next couple months.
And it's going to make it hard to consume it all. That's the part I don't like. But we would rather have this than what we're getting now, which is basically almost nothing. I've always been a fan of the idea. I've always been a proponent pushing for it here on our platform. The NBA should not start their season until December, till around Christmas time, and then end it somewhere in late July or August normally. Hopefully they see data, they see returns, they see some kind of indications that shifting their entire schedule back moving forward would be a positive thing based on the reactions and the viewership they get now. I think they end their playoffs way too soon when there's nothing generally going on other than Major League Baseball. And that's been the way they've always done it. Well, why do they do it that way? Because that's the way they've always done it. Ty, I've always thought a later NBA season would be more watched in the playoffs because the only thing the masses outside of the market cities really pay close attention to in the NBA is the playoffs. Have it in the summer where nothing else is going on.
And I need to correct myself. I said July is when the finals usually end. It's June. So as you mentioned, I think I've heard multiple people say this. Started on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Go out with the bang. Like, I watch NBA all day on Christmas Day, and that I'm already excited. Now, I'm pretty much still in college football mode because the college football playoff is not concluded. So why not start out with the bang on Christmas Day and then compete, go into July, go into August? I don't know the exact timeline on that because when do they usually start in the NBA?
Well, they normally have preseason in October, first games begin in November, similar to college basketball. Well, no one's paying attention to much NBA in November and December. The coming out party every year for the NBA is Christmas Day. You could start maybe the 15th. There's a window there where there's only NFL games on the weekends. There's no college football at all. You could work some games into that early, December 10th through 25th range, and really make the 25th your bank. You would just bring more value and more weight to your regular season if you shifted everything back, because nobody outside of the market cities is really paying a lot of attention to the NBA in November.
So what do you do with college basketball? Because it's always been March Madness. Yeah. That's the big staple. That's the big selling point. So you just move the NBA to move college basketball?
Because my whole reasoning for moving the NBA long term is when you get into July and August, where they're, all you're left with is Major League Baseball. And let's face it, the demographics of watch baseball have changed. Younger people aren't watching Major League Baseball in the numbers they were a quarter century ago. The younger consumer is watching the NBA. You think that? I don't have a report here in front of me, but
no,
I think
that's fair.
I think I'm.
You don't have to have.
I don't think I need
fair.
A report to say I'm accurate on that. I know that I enjoy the NBA playoffs. I don't watch a lot of regular season. I have college baseball. I have things that interest me: professional golf, Razorback baseball, some professional baseball that hold my attention till June. Well, I would like to be more interested in a conference semifinal in June rather than a NBA final in June, so that I could be interested in a NBA final in late July or August when we have a dead period here. And some of this is just selfish. I want more for us to discuss. We think, well, college football's coming. We have a lot of forced conversations about college football in July and even August, even when they're starting practice. I'd like to have more organic conversations about actual live sporting events that you out there would want to listen to. And I think the NBA having their the meat of their playoffs in July and August, maybe you end it late July, end it early August. I think you got to get out of the way of the NFL training camps and their preseason games. You end it somewhere around the first week or so of NFL preseason games.
Because what would you rather compete with if you're Adam Silver, if you're the NBA owners? Would you rather compete against the NFL and college football, or would you rather compete against not a dying sport in the MLB, but a lesser popular sport than it was in previous years?
The fight's going to be for television time at the end of the regular season. Now, the playoff games don't occur on their regional sports hubs or sports networks. Your Fox Sports Southwest, your Fox Sports Midwest. The fight would be, well, are you going to air the Cardinal game on Midwest, or are you going to air the, I don't know what goes on there, maybe Midwest is a bad deal, Fox Sports, whatever's in Texas, Southwest. You going to air the Mavericks, Dallas, the Rockets games, okay, or are you going to air the Astros or the Rangers game? You know, that becomes somewhat of the point with, because some of these regional networks work with both NBA and Major League Baseball teams.
Yeah, and this is a conversation I think that I would think the NBA would benefit from, but the television networks would be also a big question as well.
I'm just a fan of the show. I'm a fan of our content, and our content gets better in the summer. And it makes the summers less dry for me and you if we had NBA in the summer.
I will 100% hop on board with that. And it would give us, there would be no dead period, I think, for just sports fans. Because if you flow, I mean, think about this. Let's start with just college football in general, because I feel like that's really the start of the sports season, even though it's late in the year. You would have college football, then the NFL. That would flow into the NBA, which would, as you mentioned, either right before Christmas Day or right at it. Then that would flow until the MLB, which you would still have NBA going on, and then you would have the MLB flow into back into college football. So you would really, and even, listen, I'm not going to pay a ton of attention to the MLB playoffs. I'm not going to pay a ton of attention to the regular season, but it seems like that would be a much simpler thing. But again, it goes back to the television networks and how they would want to go about that.
We want to watch, as consumers, games of significance, games of consequence. I love baseball. I don't watch it on a regular basis, night in, night out, like many people in, you know, a decade or so older than me do. But the games in June and July generally don't have a lot of consequence in Major League Baseball. They all add up, I get it, but the games of consequence, the games that people pay attention to, are September and particularly October baseball. You know, regular season Milwaukee Brewers, Chicago Cubs game, you know, unless you're just a diehard, it's not going to get you going. Well, you got to have more than the diehards to make it work. That's why you got to have people like me to the get to the TV for the NBA when the playoffs count. I just got less going on, less competition. I'm more apt to watch more games more intently for longer periods of time if the NBA played their games of consequence, their games of significance, later into the summer.
877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in. Danny is in Russellville wanting to hop in on the conversation. Danny, you're on the Morning Rush.
Good morning, guys. Considering the fact that last night I had zero choice of what sports to watch, I would look forward to the fact of having to make a choice. I mean, but I have a question about the NBA. Are they going to finish the season off and have the playoffs and then go right back into the next season without much time off?
Yeah, that's a conversation right now about when they resume. So,
wow.
And there's been some conversation. Danny, there's been some conversation about starting the Braves, because they want that gap in there, about starting the next regular season around December. So,
well, you know what? Nobody would really care, because they don't really start watching until then anyway. Now, I, you know, there's a pecking order. Yeah, Razorbacks come first, and on, the Cardinals second. But I would like to have to make a choice between something to watch. But, and I'm sure everybody else is in the same boat. But you guys were talking earlier about somebody made a disparaging comment about the Razorback football team.
An SEC coach, and honestly, so Athlon Sports, I don't know how long they've been doing this, Danny, but in their magazine, they always get coaches from each conference to anonymously say stuff about it. Some are positive, some are negative. There have been a lot of positives that you could say about the Arkansas football program, and an SEC coach pointed that out.
Well, guys, let's face it. He was telling the truth. We're terrible. We were one of the worst football teams I've ever seen last couple of years. And yeah, I'm sure if you ask all SEC coaches, you know, to a man, they'd say the same thing. They're terrible. They stink, you know, and that's what we did. But guess what? It's a new year. We have a new coach. And I have faith that these coaches are going to be much better. I don't see how in the world it could be any worse. So you got to have faith that it's going to get better because it's, you know, pretty much.
But is your faith based on the idea of what you just said? They're going to get better because there's no other direction. You know, I guess two wins could become one.
You know, when you're just so bad, I've said that before, things can't get worse, and it did. But, you know, this collection of coaches, you got to have something to look forward to. You got to say, okay, these guys, they can do it. And that's all we got, you know. And I believe they will. I just think they're going to be a better coach team next year. We were really sloppy last year, and everybody knows it. And that coach was just telling it like it is. I mean, until we do something on the football field, we're going to be looked at as sorry Arkansas. You know, like when we were in a Southwest Conference, we looked at Rice, and TCU at the time was terrible. We looked at them and we said, there's no way they're ever going to beat us. And that's the way they look at us. So until we change it, that's going to be our perception. Anyway, guys, you have a good day, and thanks for taking my call.
As always, Danny, we appreciate it. Yeah, it's runs and cycles. TCU's had a better run under Gary Patterson than they did under the Southwest Conference. Can't say the same about Rice, but you hope to get back to a point where you're not looked down upon disparagingly from an SEC coach. But as you mentioned, Danny, and as Tommy mentioned early in the show, that's kind of where you are as a football program right now. One of the things Danny said, and in case you're just jumping in on the conversation, we're talking about the idea of the NBA resuming and really digging in to not only college football, but the NFL as well, having multiple sports on at one time, which is looking like that's going to be the case. Danny said he's excited about it because he's excited about the choice because we haven't had anything as of late. So there's a pecking order that applies to that. What are you going to watch first? Danny said he's going to go Razorbacks, Cardinals, and then after that, it's just kind of up in the air. Mine will be Razorback football, college football, NBA finals or NBA playoffs or whatever, and then NFL, and then MLB below that. That's just what
you may not even watch the World Series this year.
I always watch the World Series.
Well, you may not be able to because it may be playing at the same time as one of those things that are higher on your pecking order. Because as you said, everything's going to be compressed. How does it do when you're competing one event against another?
Well, the MLB is in an interesting situation because they haven't played yet and they're compressing. I mean, what they play, what, 182 games every year?
162.
And they're thinking about a 50-game schedule.
Yeah, they're trying to, you know, and they've had a bad look with millionaires fighting with billionaires kind of perception with the public. But they're trying to figure out how to financially come to some kind of terms that everybody can agree upon.
And the reason it's bad is because it's been made public. Like, this was as private as this wasn't as talked about. I don't know.
You think the NBA aren't having these same conversations about how the players are going to get paid? Whether it's going to be prorated? I mean, they're having but it's not being made public. It's not as out there as Major League Baseball has made it.
That's why I don't think it's been as, like, criticized, right?
Right. I mean, but my point is, do you think they're not having these conversations?
No.
Of course they are.
You know? I know, but it's been made. It's fair for me to say that it's been made more public about the strife being going on with the MLB owners.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm supporting your point is the fact that if you think other leagues aren't having these conversations, well, you're dead wrong. They're just not airing their laundry like Major League Baseball has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is it's difficult because, like you said, the perception is billionaires fighting with millionaires. There's the numbers you have to look like. Players feel like they're being lied to by the owners, by the numbers, by the statistics, and then the owners feel like they're taking way more of a hit than the players actually realize. So there's arguing and bickering back and forth between the two.
Here's the one narrative I get tired of. That, hey, they're a billionaire. It's okay for them to lose a bunch of money just to resume the season. Go ahead and pay the players. Yeah, everybody's got to equally share in how you resume it. Why would they reopen the gates and reopen to simply lose more money? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Has baseball ever had, and this speaks to my baseball knowledge, have they ever had a lockout where they've never played a season?
Was it 95? Mid-90s?
Jeez, will you look that up?
Yeah, I think it was 90. I mean, that's why you needed Sosa McGuire to bring the game back. Baseball was truly America's pastime in the 80s and early 90s, as much as it was in the 60s and the 70s. And then the work stoppage in the 90s, I believe it was 95.
94.
94, okay. Killed it.
The 94-95 Major League strike was the eighth work stoppage in baseball history, as well as the fourth in-season work stoppage in 22 years.
Which is not something you want to have right now, coming after a number of different things, including, like, it's hard. It's a hard decision right now for MLB owners and players because they both feel like they want to get their cut. I spoke to my pecking order, the number of which I would watch games. Tommy, what would be your order if MLB was going on? You had college football, NFL, mm-hmm. NBA. How would you decide which one you're going to watch?
Very similar to yours, because I'm a Razorback fan and observer first. It's part of our job here, but that's where our passion is at. That's where my passion resides. And then I'm a SEC/college football fan. I'm not going to miss if Auburn's playing Georgia or if Alabama's playing Tennessee. That's a game that's going to take a priority for me, even if Arkansas's played earlier or will play later in the day. So I'm an SEC football fan, then a college football fan, and I can separate those two because I watch a lot more SEC games intently than I do, ACC or Big Ten games. The NFL, I will watch it, but it will be down the list. Probably at that point I'm watching NBA or Major League Baseball, depending on the teams. And probably the NBA, because the games are going to be of more consequence, although you're going to be at the same time trying to get the World Series done. So, baseball has the issue of they are an outdoor sport that can't be played in certain conditions. I mean, the NFL, college football, unless there's lightning, they can pretty well play in the snow, the rain, a thunderstorm. As long as there's not lightning, you can play. Well, Major League Baseball, if it gets too cold, you can't play. If it's too wet, you can't play. Unless they're going to move to a neutral site dome, they have an issue. Basketball doesn't matter what the weather's like. So unless baseball is going to choose some neutral site indoor facilities, they're kind of hemmed in by the weather. And maybe that's what they do. We're going to go to Florida. We're going to go somewhere in the south, and we're going to play in a dome. And that's where we're going to have the first time ever going to have the World Series in a neutral site.
What would your pecking order be if you want to jump in on the conversation? 877-377-6963. Eric in Hot Springs texted and said, mine would be college football first. Yep. Eric, I think the majority of our listeners all across Arkansas, even outside the state, would probably say that because this is an Arkansas-centered show, obviously. We talk SEC football all the time, regardless if it's in the fall, if it's in the spring, it's in the summer. It is such a polarizing topic to you people listening because it's what you want to talk about. So I think, Eric, like you, many of our listeners would say college football first. 877-377-6963. Let's go to the phones. Don in Greenwood. Don, go ahead, man. You're on the Morning Rush.
Hey, guys. Back in the 90s when baseball didn't play, it really hurt them. It set them mm-hmm. back decades.
They've never recovered.
Never recovered.
Yeah.
And I think if they do it again, it's done. Not done, but they'll lose many fans.
Don, what brought baseball back? It was Sosa and McGuire and the home run chase, and everybody was juicing, and no one really cared or paid attention. You would need something like that to bring fans back to the table if baseball has a work stoppage here.
A spark.
Yep.
And as far as this football deal goes, Razorbacks, whatever, but we got a guy up there. His name's Bullsworth. If you don't know his story, look his movie up, Greater, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix or something. Right. It's a great show. Even if you don't like football, it's a motivation guy. And this kid was fat, and I'm not putting him down. He was fat. He was told no. He was just told he would never do anything. So he ate Oreos. He swelled up. He walked on. I mean, he made an impression. He didn't take no. I don't know what exactly his senior year award he won. I don't want to misquote. But this, the myth is, you know, hey, coach, how do I do this? The coach laughed at him. You know, the coach said, man, you're never going to win that. Well, he did. And, he got drafted, and we all know the story. But as far as that goes, the Razorbacks need to take that attitude. What that kid, that man, whatever you want to say, had, they need to drill that into that team. He didn't accept no. I mean, that's what we need to have. We need to have a bull's worth attitude that needs to be shot down our necks all year. I mean, maybe I'm getting a little off there, but, you know, whatever happened in the past doesn't have to happen in the future.
Don,
you decide your future. Success is chosen. Don't forget that in life. Your past has nothing to do with your future, guys. But anyway, hockey's got to be in there somewhere for me. I absolutely love it.
You're the guy. So, all right.
Are you a Stars fan? Well, who's your team, Don?
Stars. I love them. Absolutely.
Maybe well. Maybe we can watch a hockey game with you, Don, and you can educate us on what icing is, because hockey, I don't understand the rules enough.
I've been to a couple Preds games, and I will say that in Nashville, that atmosphere is pretty incredible. Stars game, I think I've been to one. I'm not 100% sure, but got a couple bunch of buddies that live down in Dallas. One of the bucket list items that we've talked about before, I would love to go to a Winter Classic. Now, they've had that in Dallas. They've had that in Chicago. They've had that in St. Louis, a couple other different venues. It's an outdoor hockey game, which attracts a number of different people, something that would definitely on that list.
I've never been to a hockey game, and I'd go. There's a minor league hockey team in Tulsa.
What are they called?
Let's go sometime. I mean, I'm always looking for an excuse to go to Tulsa whenever they resume. I've never been, and I would love to go to a hockey game.
I think it's the Oilers.
You're correct. Because the Drillers are their baseball team. It's the Oilers. You're right.
That would be something fun to watch. But Don brings up a good point. I mean, you think about the Brandon Burlesworth story. Some of the stuff I think was, and I say Disney'd up, not because it was made by a Disney company, but movied up in a sense. But we had Anthony Lucas on this very program, and he talked about how their whole idea that year of seniors was coming together, and they did just that, which is very important for the restoration of Arkansas football and them getting back on track in 98. Not to say that this team is going to get that close to going to the SEC championship, but you would love to see a resurgence from this Arkansas football team starting from this year in the first year under Sam Pittman.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
All right, going to Nick Hale, going to talk some college football SEC. Nick, before we get into the football conversation, you are the Nashville Predators in-game host, and I'm sitting with the co-host right now that's never been to a hockey game. Explain why he needs to go to a Preds game, man.
Oh, wow. I would say the environment when they are clicking on all cylinders and playing high-level hockey is a combination of an SEC tailgate meets the Ryder Cup, meets Woodstock, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a great combo.
I don't have anything against going. I just don't live in a part of the country where the opportunity to go is at my doorstep.
Understood.
Yeah, so hockey is on my bucket list of things to do. And why not Nashville?
All right, fair enough.
City, you know.
So, yeah, it's a great, for Nick, for someone that used to live in Nashville, got to go to a couple Predators game, and how you just portrayed the atmosphere is a perfect example of what it actually is like.
And you might get to see Carrie Underwood, maybe.
Yeah, that's just a...
Oh, I mean, that's always a bonus.
Yeah, always a bonus. So, Nick, I saw Brad Powers out in Vegas, who does a lot of like betting and forecasting out there in Vegas, had this to say, and I know you're more on the college football podcasting side of Athlon Sports. I know Braden, Steven, some of the other guys do more of the writing side. But when it came to Arkansas football, one of the quotes that was in from an anonymous coach in the SEC is talking about it's a total mess from top to bottom. What's the identity of the program? They were maybe the worst-looking team on film in the conference.
maybe in the Power Five. When you're looking at Arkansas football from an outside perspective, what are your thoughts on what the feedback that you and some of your colleagues got at Athlon Sports on where Arkansas football is right now?
I feel like they're going through an identity crisis from where they were 5 years ago with a guy like Brett Bielema to Chad Morris, and you want to go from being a physical upfront trench team to more of a spread team, and we've seen the differences. You know, the last 5 years, the win total has gone from 8-7 to 4-2 to 2, and I said on Periscope a couple of days ago, you've got Vanderbilt in the east, you've got Arkansas on the west, and if these two teams can't figure out what they want to be, and there's two totally different things, and I think Arkansas is, you know, committed to providing for the football team, whereas Vanderbilt just doesn't invest any money. But I made a joke, you know, sooner or later, figure it out, or just get out of the SEC, we'll go back to 12 teams and go join the Sun Belt. I'm at a point, you know, growing up, as I'm 36 years old. I mean, I remember, you know, 12 years ago, McFadden and Jones and Peyton Hillis, and, you know, even going back to the early 2000s, late 90s, and, you know, they were a respectable program, and they had peaks, and, you know, Houston Nutt did his thing, and, you know, they had some good seasons, but now it just seems like they're facing a major identity crisis, and before you can rebound and become relevant again, you got to decide what you want to be and what you are, and I think that's kind of the issue they're going to face this year. When you look at what their schedule is, I mean, I think they can get to 3 wins, maybe 4 if Felipe Franks and Rakeem Boyd are, you know, a killer combination of seniors in the backfield, but it's going to be another couple of years before I think they're even a bowl eligible team.
You know, when Arkansas is hitting, you know, peaks or just being more consistent, not even the peak seasons like an 06 or a 10 or 11, you were consistently better than the Mississippi schools. Missouri wasn't in the league at that time. And to me, that's where Arkansas's got to get back to, Nick, because they got to be better than Ole Miss and Mississippi State, you know, 4 out of 5, 3 out of 5 years. Right now they have not been. And that's the first step, is can you be better than the M's on your schedule? Missouri, Mississippi State. Because right now Arkansas's got to catch up to those teams before you can even think about talking about, you know, Alabama and LSU and Auburn and A&M.
Well, I totally agree. They're years away from competing with the elites in the West or in the East, for that matter. I feel like they're at least a couple of years away from even competing with a Tennessee, a Florida, certainly a Georgia. And just remember, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, they were in the Liberty Bowl. They were in the Belk Bowl. And those aren't glorious bowl games by any stretch. But, you know, you win 7 games a year, you're going to play a couple of days after Christmas. And it seems like they might be 2 or 3 years away from just getting back to that level, assuming Sam Pittman gets them on the right track.
So is Sam Pittman the guy that can do it, or is he the coach that's going to set the table for the next coach that returns them to some level of prominence?
I got to be honest, I don't know a ton about Sam Pittman. And I think what a lot of people do when they look at programs in a conference is they automatically look at the head coach. And if the name doesn't have any glitz or glamour to it, or if it's not a splashy hire or a sexy move, we automatically assume he's not going to get that team or that program back to where they need to be. And I think right now you look in the conference, there is just so much star power amongst the coaches, from Saban and Orgeron at the top down to guys like Jimbo and Gus, you know, even all the way down to a Will Muschamp, who I don't even have in my top 10. And you sit there and say, well, there's a lot of star power and personalities. And I look at Sam Pittman, and I don't know a ton about him. I ranked him as my last coach by default based on what he's inheriting, but can he be better than Derek Mason at Vanderbilt? Can he be better than Eli Drinkwitz? I mean, it's certainly possible. I'd be lying if I sat here and said he's going to fail or he's going to get Arkansas back to 8 wins in 2 or 3 years, simply because I just don't know enough about the guy. And I'm not sure many people truly know a ton about him other than, you know, reading his Wikipedia page or looking at his resume.
Speaking with Nick Kale right now, Cover 2 College Football Podcast at Athlon Sports. Nick, on the note of star power, when you mentioned Ed Orgeron at LSU, he's got the star power now, but at the time when they were looking for their next head coach after Les Miles had been dismissed, it was going to be Tom Herman. It was going to be Jimbo Fisher if Woodward could reel him away from there. but that didn't happen, and Orgeron was kind of taking over. And what he did, which made him a national champion, is he went out and he, oh, he had, excuse me, he had, I'm forgetting the DC's, Dave Aranda, and then he went out and got Joe Brady. Like, he surrounded himself mm-hmm. with great offensive and defensive assistants, which I think Sam Pittman has been able to do with Ken O'Brien and Barry Odom in a CEO-like approach. Does that at least alleviate some pressure off Sam Pittman, the fact that it seems like he's surrounded himself with good guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a Barry Odom fan at Missouri, and I thought, you know, you looked at the last couple of years. Now, obviously, they failed last year, but, you know, Missouri's win total the previous 3 years was escalating each and every year with Barry Odom. So I think surrounding yourself by guys and doing things that maybe you're not typically accustomed to or familiar with is great. And you bring up a good point with Ed Orgeron. You know, he goes out and overhauls the LSU offense. He says, we're not going to be like Les Miles. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out and get Joe Brady. I'm going to adapt and we're going to evolve the offense. I'm going to get a quarterback that can play in the spread. We're going to use all of our elite athletes. And you think about LSU as a prime example. All these years, you know, 2012 and 13, they had Reuben Randall, they had Odell Beckham, they had Jarvis Landry. They had NFL elite receivers, and they couldn't get the ball to them because they were so inept offensively at the quarterback position and antiquated with their, you know, their offensive philosophy. So Orgeron changes everything around, and they have arguably the greatest single season in college football history. So if you're Sam Pittman, you got to look at what hasn't worked and say, you know what, I'm totally comfortable doing anything to evolve. And if that means bringing in former head coaches like Barry Odom, so be it. We got to get this thing rolling.
How do you think this Felipe Franks, Kendall Briles 1 year arrangement will work? Is that going to be enough to set the table for Arkansas with the wide receiver pieces, with Rakeem Boyd, with a lot of question marks on the offensive line? How do you think this arrangement with Briles and Franks for this season will go for Arkansas?
Well, I've always liked Riles as an offensive coordinator and a guy that could be running an offense. When I was looking at Felipe Franks the last couple of years, 2 years ago going into the 2018 season, I thought Kyle Trask would actually beat Felipe Franks out for the starting job in year one with Dan Mullen. I was wrong on that. Didn't end up being the case. But now, obviously, Felipe Franks has transferred. And when I watch Felipe Franks, I see a ton of ability. And I don't know that he would have necessarily had the season Kyle Trask had last year after the injury, but he probably would have had Florida in that 10-win range. And I look at Franks as a guy, you know, 6'5", he's got the arm, he's got the mobility, he's got all the intangibles to get Arkansas going in the right direction. I guess I would just throw the question back to you guys, what is the right direction? Because I look at their schedule and I see 3-9, 0-8 in the conference, or I see 4-8, 1-7 in the conference. What exactly is going in the right direction? Is it simply improving upon last year's win total?
Well, I mean, improvement would be 3. And I think for this program to really feel like it's on the right traction, 2 things. Got to win more games, got to win a league game, Nick. But I think it's diminishing the embarrassing losses. Yeah, it's one thing to lose. You know, it's one thing to lose 28-24. It's a whole other thing to lose to get your head stomped in 56-3. And I think that's part of it. Not all losses are created equal. I think one thing Sam Pittman's got to do, Nick, is get this program in a position where you're not being embarrassed even though you lose.
Well, I mean, they've got a couple of back-to-back killer stretches. They got road games at Notre Dame and Mississippi State. And then they have a 3-game home stretch with Alabama, LSU, and Tennessee. So, I mean, there's pockets in this schedule where, to your point, it's not about so much winning. It's about not getting boat raced 44-10, but more or less being competitive and looking like you belong on the field and just getting the game into the second half.
Yeah,
I think a lot of Arkansas fans, when they look at, you know, Alabama, LSU, going on the plains in early November, I mean, if they're trailing 24-10 mid-third quarter, I mean, that almost feels like a victory.
Speaking with Nick Kale of Athlon Sports. Nick, Arkansas is not going to be in the SEC championship this year. Tommy and I know that. Arkansas fans listening to that, as much as we wish that was the case, it's not going to happen. And the outlook in this SEC year with Joe Burrow and so many great LSU players departing, including Dave Aranda and Joe Brady, they're two great offensive passing game coordinator, defense coordinator. I think there's a little angst, a little like what's going to happen this year in the SEC. Who did you predict is going to end up in Atlanta, Georgia this year?
Yeah, from the West, I'm going to go with Alabama. That's not a real surprise by any standard. I do have them losing one game this year. I think they're going to lose at Ole Miss to Lane Kiffin. But I have them 11-1 winning the West. And then I've got Florida coming out of the East. It seems like it's starting to become a trendy pick. I think a lot of people are high on Jamie Newman in Georgia. But I like what Dan Mullen has done his first 2 years and Kyle Trask coming back. I think the Gators and the Tide for the 10th time in the history of the championship dating back to 92. Alabama leads 5-4 overall. They've won the last three. I think we're going to have Alabama, Florida round 10, and I have Alabama coming out on top.
So, Nick, on the note of Alabama, is Mac Jones going to be the starter the entire season, or do you think Bryce Young is going to eventually take over that starting position?
You know, it's funny. Everybody wants to criticize Mac Jones and say, well, look at all the talent he had last year with Judy and Ruggs. And, you know, of course he should put up those numbers. I mean, he came in and had 15 touchdowns with three picks, 67%. I mean, he was really good in a short stretch last year. And he's got weapons back this year. Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris that he can play action off of. Probably the best offensive line in college football. I think you're going to see Bryce Young every week because Saban's going to want to, you know, get him indoctrinated pretty quickly. Alabama will blow out a handful of teams, so he'll certainly get plenty of mop-up duty. But I just don't see a scenario short of Mac Jones getting injured or just completely regressing where Bryce Young takes the job this year. That said, Saban has showed us in the past, I mean, halftime in the national championship, he yanked Jalen Hurts for Tua Tagovailoa, so he's not afraid to make a big move in the middle of the biggest stage.
Nick, of the first-year head coaches in this league or new with their schools, Drinkwitz, Pittman, Leach, Kiffin, who has the best season of those four and why?
I'm going to go with Lane Kiffin. I think he's been dying to get back to the SEC. Obviously, the history at Tennessee, at USC, you know, last couple of years down in Boca Raton. And I think there is, and I said, you know, when I had Alabama winning the West, they're going to lose one game. I think Ole Miss is going to knock off Alabama in early October. And I think Lane Kiffin, there's a strong part of him that truly respects Nick Saban, but there's a competitive side of Lane Kiffin that would love to knock off Nick Saban and be the first assistant to beat him. I think Ole Miss is going to win 6 or 7 games this year. And Lane Kiffin gets a signature win right out of the gate.
What's going on at Tennessee? Because Jeremy Pruitt was like their 37th choice, and they hired him as head coach. And now all I read about is five-star after five-star seems to be committing to Tennessee here in recent weeks. So what is going on at Tennessee, and is this a sign that Pruitt's going to be the guy?
Well, he's got to get with some of these wins. He's got 4 big games this year. He's got Oklahoma, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia. Everybody says he's got to win one. I think it's possible he can win two. I'm on record saying he's going to beat Florida. That's going to be Florida's lone loss in the regular season in Knoxville. But recruiting during this global pandemic was very interesting. You know, people using Zoom and all the technology, and I'm not sure anybody did it better than Jeremy Pruitt. You alluded to all the five stars, and I've always been a big believer in momentum. And I think the momentum from last year has carried over. They have the second longest winning streak in college football. Now, it's only 6 games, but they're certainly going in the right direction. Now it's a matter of taking all the talent that you've assembled. And I don't know that this talent right now this year is going to lead to wins this year. It'll lead obviously to wins in the next 2-3 years. But I think Tennessee is primed for a 9-win season. And if they win a bowl game, they can get to 10. I think it's simply Jeremy Pruitt has challenged his players. He's established a no-nonsense culture. And I think the knock against him was, in a negative fashion, was, well, he's just a ball coach. He's not a CEO. He can't oversee an operation. I think he's slowly and gradually proving that narrative to be false.
Nick Cale with us of Athlon Sports does the Cover 2 College Football podcast over there. Also does part-time stuff with 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, as well as some other stuff. Nick, before we let you go, being in Atlanta, being in Nashville, you used to live in Philly. of those three destinations, where is Nick going to dinner if he has his choice of any of those three cities, any restaurant?
Oh, boy. Well, if I'm in the mood for Italian, it's Ralph's in South Philadelphia. If I'm in the mood for barbecue, it's Nashville. It's Edley's Barbecue. And Atlanta, I actually haven't really dined in Atlanta, but I got to tell you, you guys were mentioning the fried zucchini and the ribeye at that establishment coming out of the top of the hour. That sounds really good. I mean, I know it's only 8:20 Central Time, but I could go for a ribeye and some zucchini right now.
Let me tell you, it's the best fried zucchini I ever had. I had it for the first time at that place on Sunday, River City Bistro. It's the real deal. So if you ever get our way, we'll treat you to some zucchini.
Sounds good.
All right.
Nick Kale of Athlon Sports. Nick, appreciate your time this morning. It's always good to talk some college football. And we are 94 days out from the Arkansas season, and we can just feel the SEC football at this point. So we appreciate you having you coming
let's,
on.
Let's all hope it happens.
You got it, fellas. Thank you.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers, when all you do is burgers, they have to be the best. All right, let's get into it. On a Wednesday, we talk about what we're beefing about.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
On a What's Your Beef Wednesday, whatever you've been beefing with this over the weekend, up to this week, up to today, you're welcome to get on the conversation, 877-377-6963. Tom, I'll let you start. What are you beefing with on this Wednesday?
Seems like, you know, it's hard to have a beef that really has substance compared to everything going on outside the walls of our studio right now. So I'm going to go with something really trivial that doesn't matter at all, but just hacks me off because it's happened to me twice in the last 10 days. Have you ever gone to the drive-thru, you're in line to get a drink, a burger, whatever you're getting, and the car in front of you won't pull up enough so that you can get to the order window where you can order, and you're like 2 feet short, so you've hit the sensor, and the person's yelling, hey, welcome to so-and-so, can I take your order, and you can't get there. You can't get to the box because the car in front of you has 8 feet in front of them. And then you pull up to the pay, and it's almost like they're doing it on purpose, because then you get to the first window where you're supposed to pay, and they leave you about 2 feet short there. They design these things to where they put them for a reason, where the the speaker is located versus the pay window versus where you finally get your food. Pull up. Let the next person get in line and order their food so that you're not pulled. Because inevitably what happens, you're going to get to the end, your food's not ready. All right, sir, can you pull into slot number one? We'll walk your food out there. We're making you hot fries. Well, you know you're not making me hot fries. I'm just, you know, my burger's not ready because the guy in front of me wouldn't. See, it's pretty trivial. But it just pisses me off every time this happens because the person in front of them is texting or putting on their makeup or not paying attention. And then, hey, sir, can you pull up to slot number one? We're making you hot fries.
What's wrong with hot fries?
They're not making me hot fries. They're just trying to complete my order and get me out of the way because the guy in front of me wouldn't pull up and I was 2 feet short of the window. Aware of what you're doing.
What if they're telling the truth?
I don't think they're telling the truth. They can't be that behind on fries every time.
Got a text in here from the 479.
Yeah, I told you it's trivial.
Listen, we've aired more grievances about what's going on with just everything right now that's been more personal, more real.
Right.
This is
so
more.
I'm trying to be a little bit funny, but that is something that just hacks me off. We've got a lot of bigger problems in the world than this my drive through problems. But
the best way my friends and I used to describe when someone would like complain or moan about something that, as you mentioned, was trivial, like actually complain to us without this being a dedicated segment outside of sports radio. Cool first world problem, guy.
Yeah.
And we just look at him, and then he'd be like, then he'd sulk a little bit. It's like, sorry, guys, I shouldn't have said that. So. This is the segment where we're like, we're not
trivial on purpose.
We're not overcasting what's actually going on with our lives. We're just, it's more of a make fun of ourselves type of segment. Text out of 479 says, I work at a part-time craft store that's closed on Sundays, and they already have Christmas merchandise all throughout the store a little bit early. It is June the 3rd. So are we directly, like, not, I guess not exactly halfway, but we're pretty much halfway.
Can we not do it in order? Can we not have July 4th stuff out, followed by what would be the next one? There's not really Labor Day decorative items. Then you go to Halloween. There's some Thanksgiving. Can we at least get to Labor Day before we drag out Christmas stuff?
I would think so.
At least Labor Day. I know we're never going to get all the way to November. I understand that. But June, it just, you're right, it seems to get earlier and earlier and earlier. But you know what? The feel of Christmas this year may be better than ever. If we can get back to Christmas and have some normalcy, this may be the best Christmas ever.
I would hope so. Hopefully everyone will get their job back that have lost it due to everything going on with COVID-19, and that we really appreciate our families, our jobs, our relationships, whatever the case may be. Hopefully that's the case. Another text, B in Clarkville says, I've got a beef. My wife's car turned over 100,000 miles, and now she thinks the motor is going to fall out and the wheels are going to fall off.
Just because it's got 100,000 miles?
I guess she's just worried that it's going to break down on her because it's busted 100K. Well,
it doesn't break down until it breaks down, right? Drive it till the wheels fall off. That's how I was raised.
I plan on driving
your money's worth.
My car that hopefully I think I'm going to pay off in like the next 2 months, that I'll drive that thing to the ground, like you're saying. I won't.
The way my dad trained me.
Yeah, that's what, listen, it's a Harry Robinson vehicle. It's going to go for a long time. So excited about just not having a car payment. It's going to be nice. All right.
Make it to yourself.
Yeah.
And pay yourself the car payment for a while.
More money for
that
beer.
That way you pay cash for the next one.
More money for beer, right?
Sure.
Okay.
That's a great investment. You'll really have something to show for it at the end of the day.
Listen, I like good, cheap beer, so that doesn't really have an expense to that.
We were at the liquor store the other day getting something. I ran in and got it. She stayed in the... We're pulling up, and some guy in the slot we're pulling in has this... She didn't know what it was until we got closer. Had this pink box of beer. She says... And it was clearly a 30-pack, and she's like... What is he drinking? Got closer. His natural eye said, oh, Ty would be so proud of that.
Good man.
He'd get out and high-five him.
Has Laura, Mrs. Laura not have a natter day yet?
I don't think she's had any natter days. One.
It is. Okay, so summer, I think, starts the 21st of June, sometime this month. She needs to try, and I encourage all of you who have not had a natter day yet, and who just, like, for all you men out there that's like, hard whiskey, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I drink what's good. I might not be the manliest guy out there.
You know, you drink what you think is good.
What I think is good. But yeah,
my wife would agree. Y'all both like, these seltzer products, these White Claws.
I drink what tastes good to me. But just try. There's been people I've had that I've, like, when I've gone to these beer festivals here locally, that I've been the bartender of sorts. And I've been, and they'll look at me weird, and they're like, well, what is this? What? And I'm just like, just try it. Tell me. Now, there's some people that have spit it right back out, and there's some people that continuously come back to my section of the booth because of how good it is. So I encourage you that if you haven't had an Natter Day, especially since we're about to enter summer, give it the old college try. All right, my beef on this Wednesday is that I feel like when I go swimming, I was playing pool volleyball last night. Do you have this sensation that you have water in your ears for days?
Yes.
I have eardrops because I hate... One of my biggest pet peeves as a child was getting swimmer's ear. I would all... For those who have been to, or their kids have gone to Brook Hill Ranch in Hot Springs, I would all... And maybe it's because it was lake water. I would always come back with swimmer's ear.
Yeah.
And it drove me up a wall. Because swimmer's ear, for those who have had it and those who haven't had it, is a pain in the butt. And it hurts, man.
It hurts, but it just frustrates you and drives you insane because it feels like water sloshing around in there all the time.
And so I do a job where I have to put headphones on for 3 hours a day. And so that would only amplify. I would probably either not be able to do a show or have to do it with my headphones off if I had swimmer's ear. I remember Matty T did the show one day, and he had an ear infection. I felt so bad for him. He took... I think it was his right ear, so he had his headphone on one, and I could see how much pain he was in. I was like, dude, thanks for gutting this out, whatever. And I'm just like, man, I hope. So I get worried anytime I jump in a pool of water especially if it's a lake or if it's a river, I'm always apprehensive that I'm going to get swimmer's ear back. So
get you some earplugs. They'll look really cool.
They just don't vibe with me. So I don't.
The fluorescent orange earplugs, get you some cotton balls out of your medicine cabinet. You know, anybody got a medicine cabinet out there still? Go in there and get some of grandma's cotton balls and stuff in the mirrors before you play water polo.
Some gauze. I don't think I could pull off the earplugs, man. I don't.
Why? Because they don't look cool, or you don't think they're effective?
Well, I'm already goofy looking enough. I don't want to add to it. So I would be characterized by many of my friends as a goofball already with how I sport apparel. Like, I'm professionally dressed right now. Got the khaki shorts on, the company shirt, and Tommy's sitting down there saying, why didn't you wear pants? But yeah. I don't wear pants.
Put on
here.
A coat and tie every now and then.
No, I won't do that. It's not my contract, though. So. That's the great thing about this job and jobs in general. If you're signing your contract, you don't have to do it, right? Yeah. And you had the opportunity, you had the chance to put suit and tie every day in my contract.
You're one of these days, you're going to be like Roger Dorn, and I'm going to be Lou Brown with your contract. You're going to come running in to your contract, and I'm going to do what Lou Brown did to Roger Dorn's contract. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, YouTube it. Look it up.
Will you do it on the live stream? We won't zoom in on that part, but we'll zoom in on the contract where you can pee on it.
You do know what he's talking about, right?
Yeah. He pees on the contract.
Okay, just making sure you knew.
So that's why I was saying we're not going to zoom on.
You didn't know who Merle Haggard was.
We're not going to zoom on.
That's a good point, Jacob.
I love Major League, but I said that's why we're not going to zoom on Tommy's part. We're going to zoom on the contract part where the piss is hitting the part. So that's the point. My dad's texting me right now. He says, rinse out with half alcohol and half vinegar. Yeah. So does that mean
the alcohol will burn out the water?
Like half natural light and half red apple vinegar? Does that work?
I don't think that's what your dad was suggesting.
I have been doing. Do you know what's not?
Here's what we'll do. Jenkins, just slap him upside the head and see if that water will come out.
I hope it does.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.